Let's start off with a question. You don't have to say it. Just think in your heart. Last time we were talking, what scripture did Brother Branham reference in his life story? And this is a scripture. I think he preached his life story like four or five times. And it's right there in Hebrews 13:10-14. Now, that's something to meditate on. I like to encourage you to not just come and listen on Sunday, but when you go home, open up your Bible and really think about it. Why did Brother Branham use this scripture in his life story? We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. And we were talking about what that means last time for the bodies of those beasts. The sacrifice was taken outside of the camp, just like Jesus, who was taken outside of the camp when he was sacrificed, down at least, crucified on the cross, and for our sins. And so Paul is saying, now we got to follow Jesus outside the camp too, bearing his reproach, to be identified with him. You think about Jesus carrying his cross outside of the camp, and he's telling us, take up your cross and follow me. Follow him outside of the camp, outside of our own ideas and our thoughts and those kind of things. So let's just go to the Lord and pray before we study. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that you've given into us, Lord, to give us encouragement and an answer for everything that we face, every problem, every challenge, every struggle in life. Is the answer is laying here in your word. And I pray, God, that you'll be with us today, Lord, as we study these things out this morning, that you'll open our understanding of these scriptures, Lord Jesus. And be with Brother Wade as he's preparing and studying, Lord, and be with us today, God, to set our hearts and our minds in order, Lord, to receive what you have for us, to lay our own will down, to lay our own thoughts down, Lord, and follow Jesus outside of the camp. In your name we pray. Amen. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to follow Jesus? You catch the vision that here we have no continuing city. This is not my home, but my treasures are somewhere else. So much heartache and so much despair and things in this life. This ain't where our treasures are. We got a city that we're looking for, where the builder and maker is God. But we seek one to come, like Paul said. Now, before we really get into the study, I want to just share some quotes from some good old-fashioned theologians. This first one is from Thomas Aquinas, who was a minister in the 1400s during the Middle Ages. And he wrote, you can read this book, The Imitation of Christ. It's got some Catholic heavy things in it about the Eucharist and Trinitarian doctrines and things like that. But there's some excellent things in here. I remember reading this when I was a young man that really kind of set my mind and kind of really heavily influenced me about how that struggle, suffering in life is essential, that God will allow you to go through things to bring you to a place where he can actually deal with you. And so there's some really, really, this book was a big influence on the way that I view some things. And so Thomas Aquinas, he said, all the evils in the world come from this, that men do not know how to be content in their own chamber. The one who has conquered his own self-will is greater than one who has defeated 1,000 times 1,000 men. So we're talking about following Jesus outside the camp. To die to your own self-will, just like he died, he gave up everything for us. Absolutely. Now, that's kind of the mode that we're talking about as we study this thing out. And another quote that maybe we'll circle back to later is Martin Luther said, the sin underneath all our sins is to trust the lie of the serpent, that we cannot trust the love and grace of Christ and must take matters into our own hands. Now, if you've ever wondered what the lie is that the serpent told Eve, that sums it up. The lie is that you can't really trust that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't have confidence in him, so you got to take matters into your own hands. Now, you know, sometimes as ministers, we kind of struggle on how to frame it up just right. And, you know, I've been kind of belaboring the point. Sometimes with your kids and things, you got to take your hands off. And that's a little bit difficult to articulate, right? Because you got to set a standard in your home. You got to, you know, you can't let them get away with doing things they shouldn't and whatnot. But really the essence of the thing is We got to have trust, faith, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we really begin to doubt that, we'll do like Eve and put our own will and our own hand to it. Because that's really the situation that Eve found herself in. I don't believe that God is going to do it, so I got to do it. Now, that's the battle. That's where, really, if you look at it, the greatest evil is your self-will. It's when you put yourself, and that's the devil there in the garden, he's influencing Eve. He's influencing Eve to inject her own will into it and say, I can't trust God anymore. I got to do it. Now, that's where if you can lay your own self-will down, lay your own will down and do like Christ, take up your cross and follow him, then you can see God begin to work. So that's what Paul is saying in verse 2. If you go on to verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I got to follow Jesus outside the camp, outside of all of the ideas of the day and my ideas, outside of the camp, to go to his camp. I want to be in his camp. I don't want to be in my camp. And that's where in every aspect of our life, when you got a problem in your home, with your children, or with your wife, or your husband, sometimes we forget that we've got a God that we can turn to. And we'll try to tackle things with our own will and our own ideas. And, you know, maybe you've put your own will into your children so much until you're just badgering them constantly. You need to be a Christian. You need to be a Christian. But remember, you can turn to God in prayer and get down on your knees and with faith and watch God begin to move. Yes. Now, that's the battle. Your will versus God's will. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, think that. Let's actually put ourselves in the place of somebody following Jesus outside of the city. Jesus, if you were behind him, you'd see him struggling, beaten, struggling to go out of the city. He got to go outside the gates. Now, you got to go outside the gates, too, to bear his reproach. And all of the, you look around at people mocking him and make all the strange ideas of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they all had their different ideas and different doctrines and things. Now, that's where we can get so caught up sometimes. So much of the Christian journey is like a mind battle. And if you can frame up your thinking in the right way, our thinking, that's why I was saying earlier, it's not to be against everything, but to be for Jesus. Yes. We're following Jesus. And you can start being, now, the reason why this is so important is because this is how people look at things. They'll see a young person go to camp, and they'll get a real blessing, and they come back, and I had an experience. Maybe they didn't get born again, but they had an experience, they recognized God is real. But because somebody's against going to camps, that's what they're against. Same thing with laying on of hands. I was hearing a preacher preach about somebody in their church came up. They were struggling with cancer, and they wanted somebody to pray for them. And they come up to the preacher. But because that church was against laying on of hands, they were so strongly against laying on of hands that they told the sister to go back and go sit down in your pew where you came from. It's because they, in their mind, they become so against everything that they forgot to be for something. When you see somebody getting a blessing, be for it. I'm for chains coming off. I'm for somebody being delivered. And you can begin to frame up the way that you think. So that, just like the Pharisees, they were so against somebody being healed or so against somebody doing anything on the Sabbath. Until when somebody was healed on the Sabbath, that was how they framed up their worldview, and they were just, I'm against that. But what about being for somebody being healed, or for somebody being delivered, or for something good? So as you follow Jesus outside of the camp, there's so many strange doctrines. There's so many things. You can make a long list. I'm against that. I'm against that. I'm against that. I'm against that. But if you're for Jesus, all of those things will take care of themselves. You just follow after Jesus, because that scripture we keep hammering on, that we've got a promise that he will lead and guide us into all truth. So you just keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. And all the things. There's so many doctrines that you could list out, like the doctrine that Irenaeus followed, the Gnosticism. I can barely understand what even Gnostic, what was Irenaeus battling about? It's such a complex doctrine. So my point is, you can make a list of all these things to be against, but let's be for something. For something is where you're optimistic that God is leading us and changing us, where you can have that negative finger pointing. I don't like nothing. I don't like anything. And you're just against everything, but I want to be for something. So Brother Branham said, in going beyond the camps, he said, now watch what he says to do now in closing. Put out of the camp where the sacrifices was burned. That's where he belonged. He was the sacrifice. Amen. Now, so the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice, was taken outside of the camp and it was burned. So Jesus is the sacrifice. Now, if you're going to follow him, that means you have to sacrifice your own self-will too. Yes, he was the sacrifice for you. And now you've got to lay down your own will. And there's the struggle. Yes, there's right. The struggle now. Amen. Now, so Brother Branham said, in going beyond the camp, he said, now, brother, sister, do you know that each one of you all must sacrifice? Yes. Now, the Bible says that he's made us kings and priests, and a priest is going to sacrifice. You must be God's sacrifice. Sacrifice the things of the world. Sacrifice your own pleasures of this world. Amen. Sacrifice the things of the world. You know the reason that people won't do it? And he doesn't really answer that question outright. But that's a good question to ask. Why do people are not they willing to sacrifice? I think if we could really answer that question, that would answer a lot of the questions that are posed in this day. Why? Well, we're not asked, Brother Ram said, we're not asked to manufacture something. We're asked to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That is the inside of the sheep. What he is on the inside makes the wool on the outside. And when a man has got Christ on the inside, it makes him Christ-like on the outside, not some artificial put-on. So sacrifice is everything about our Christian journey, about the church. It's all based on sacrifice. If you want to see your children saved, if you want to see something real happen in their life, then you've got to start with your own self, to lay down your own self-will, start cleaning up your house, set an atmosphere in your home where your children can actually see God there. And see God moving, see signs and wonders following in your life, make them thirsty, let them see you reading the Bible and hear you praying in the dead of the night and actually see you living it, because that's really the problem. The problem is where is the sacrifice? People are not, they're willing to point out faults and flaws in other people. They're really not willing to make a sacrifice in their own life and lay down their own will and try to get, you know, really get active about trying to get rid of things in their life. The whole Christian journey is about sacrifice. That's why in the Old Testament, you look at like this diagram of Solomon's temple, and everything was about sacrifice. That altar in the outer court where they brought an animal and sacrificed it. Then in the holy place, where the priest would offer up incense. He'd bring in all of the things there. Everything was about laying something down and giving something up. You know, the maybe a line of people, however long, waiting to bring their sacrifices every day, peace offerings and sin offerings and things, because they're coming to lay something down. And it's all about sacrifice. And so when Paul says in Hebrews 13:15, he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He's talking about sacrificing. See, sometimes we're so caught up in ourselves that we forget to praise God and thank God and acknowledge him for giving us a job. Even before we eat, we bow our head and thank God for even giving us food on the table. And all those things are sacrifice. It's a sacrifice when you lift your hand up in church or when you say amen to the preacher, because you're sacrificing your own will. Maybe in you're sitting here, you're embarrassed to be like different, or you're embarrassed to say amen or be vocal about your appreciation of the word. But all of those things are sacrifices. And show us the Father and it suffices. Brother Branham said, now back to Cain and Abel. When Cain worshiped, he built an altar. He sacrificed, he worshiped God, but that wasn't enough. It was beautiful, no doubt, the flowers and things that grows in the field, and he decorated his altar. why as soon as Easter come across the nations, there'll be millions of dollars spent for Easter flowers that go on the altar. Well, God don't care about that Easter flower on the altar. He wants you on the altar. Amen. You're the person for the altar, not your flower or your money. He wants you. The altar was built for you to sacrifice your own will to his will. Now, you really have been really meditating on this all week. What good does it do, like Cain, to bring all of these nice things, to come to church and have stained glass windows and all those things? What was missing in Cain's life was sacrifice. What good does it do to come to a church and say, well, I'm a good message believer and I understand the doctrine, when you're not willing to sacrifice? What good does it do to say I'm a good Christian or whatever, if you're not willing to sacrifice and be honest and have integrity and be a upstanding Christian and deal with one another in the right way and lay down your own life so that somebody else can benefit and be good to one another? What good is all these things if you're not willing to sacrifice the way that you think, sacrifice your doctrine for God? When you go to the pool and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a type. You're laying down your own life and going down in the water in death to be raised up in newness of life because you're sacrificing your life to Christ. You're sacrificing yourself. And everything is a dying out. That's why I love this story that in the Bible of Jacob wrestling with the angel. And you really think about what Jacob was doing when he was wrestling with the angel. He's dying out to himself. Are these things that have been preached, are they true? Are these things that I've heard? That's why Brother Bram, when he was preaching this in spiritual amnesia, he said, I was with Jacob that night when he wrestled all night with the angel. I've wrestled myself. I know what he went through. So I wrestled with Jacob the same time he did, for I am his brother. I love how the Bible is like a roadmap of your own life. Yes. And when you begin to read the Bible like that, you can identify yourself with these stories. It's something supernatural is happening. You can look back in your life and say, I remember when, people mocked and scorned like David, or I remember when I was on the ash heap like Job. I remember when I prayed all night, wrestled all night like Jacob did there at the river before he met Esau. I remember. And if you can remember and really identify yourself, remember when you died out. Yes. And that's the whole point maybe of this little Sunday school lesson. God will bring us, like Thomas Akempa said in The Imitation of Christ, he will bring you so low, he will bring you to the bottom of the ash heap. He will bring you down so that you really die out like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He will bring you, maybe he'll take away all your friends and make you feel like you're completely alone. Something horrible will happen in your life. Emotional turmoil and trauma, so that God can get you to where he can really begin to use you. Because you've got to die out to your self-will. And he can't use you if your self-will is still remaining. You got to get rid of your self-will. And we don't get rid of our self-will. I'm not going to get rid of my self-will because somebody's mean to me or hurtful. It's because God is doing the work. God is doing it. God is allowing things to happen in our life to mold us. You think about all the horrible things that happened in Martin Luther's life, and John Wesley's life, and Brother Branham's life, where he watched his wife and his daughter die and had that horrible sickness in Africa when he disobeyed the Lord, and all the things. It's God bringing him to a place where he can really begin to use him. Because you got to take up your cross and follow him. And Brother Bram was saying, questions and answers, law having a shadow. He said, now here's a question. Wouldn't you all like to have a real Bible church? A real Bible church where all the spiritual gifts were set in order, everything making manifest just exactly the way it should be. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. Now, he's given the recipe. Now, you're going to have to sacrifice, not money. You're going to have to sacrifice what? Some of your own ideas. You're going to have to sacrifice some time in prayer. You're going to have to sacrifice maybe a stubborn will to break down in humility. You're going to have the whole Christian move is sacrificial. And then he quotes that scripture. He that will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. Is that right? How often do you have to sacrifice? Every day. Paul said he died daily. Every day he died. So let's see. Let's see what we got to sacrifice. We got 5 minutes left, so I'm not really going to get in. But I want to go through and really dive into the things that we've got to lay down. Because if you really can sacrifice, oh, then you'll have a church where God can move. A church that will be in unity. A church that will stand together. A home that will stand together. A family that will stand together in unity. Why? Because it's you're laying down all these things that I'm about to cover. Brother Ram said, oh, Lord, just once more, he said, the trouble of it is the church today is not like Samson. They're not willing to pay the price. Now, I know maybe looking out, this might be getting a little bit bored and everything, but I'm telling you, this is the secret. This is the reason. This is the reason why a lot of young people don't want the message. This is the reason why you look around, why are these things happening? It's because there's a lack of sacrifice. They're not willing to pay the price. Samson prayed right when he prayed, Lord, let me die with the enemy. He knew it was going to cost him something. He knew it was going to cost something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. Your social prestige, your place and position in the denomination. Lord, let me die then. I see your purpose. He knew it was going to cost him something. You must be ready to die out to your enemy to get in the blessings of God. Samson was willing to pay the price to get the power of God again upon him. He was willing to do it. Are you? Are you willing to sacrifice your television programs? Now, see, that's one of the problems with young people in the church. Their parents are not willing to sacrifice and get rid of all the anime and all the nastiness that their kids are watching. They're just not willing to sacrifice and clean up the place. And you know, it used to be as wrong for us to go to the movies, but now the devil put one over on you, brought it right in the house with you. That's right. And not just in the house now, but on our phones and on our watches and on our computers at work and on your computers at work and everything. And if we're not willing to sacrifice, it will begin to have an effect on us and change our mind instead of the word. So what are we sacrificing? You got to sacrifice your personal desires and self-will. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Yes. And again in Matthew chapter 16, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. It's about laying our life down.
Yes.
We got to sacrifice our sinful behaviors and attitudes. And Paul said in Romans, he said, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We got to lay our flesh down so much until it's like killing it, so it has no effect on our life. In Colossians, he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know what Paul is really hitting at there is that, you know, we can come to church and have all these things laying there in our life. And these things that he's listing are terrible. And you think it's terrible, but yet people will come to church with fornication and adultery and horrible things laying there in our life and actually think that they're born again and will not lay their life down and allow God to begin to move in their life. Now, that's what the preaching of the gospel is really to do, to expose in your mind that you ain't born again. And people will battle it out and get upset with the minister because he's calling it out. But we're not here to you know, hurt feelings, but to see souls like. The whole purpose of the church is to see somebody sacrifice themselves and accept the sacrifice that Jesus made. That's why Paul's listing out all these things. If we can realize that there's something lacking in our life and be willing to lay our own life down on our own ideas and accept what Christ has done. What's mortification of our deeds mean? Self-examination. Search me, O God, and know my heart, is what David said in the book of Psalms. It means continual repentance. Every day to acknowledge what you did wrong. Constantly be examining yourself. Do I really have the right motives? Do I really have the right objectives? Am I the problem? And rely on the Holy Ghost. Now that's what Eve's problem was. She forgot to trust in God. Now, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, is what Paul said in Galatians. Because if you're trusting in God and you're walking in the Spirit and you're not letting your relationship with God go cold, then your flesh will truly be mortified. Right. And seek to distance yourself from the world. In Romans chapter 12, Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what he's saying here, as we close up right here, as we're running out of time, he's saying, when you don't try to get as far away from the world as you can. Amen. Try to get as far away from the things of the world and anything that will distance yourself from God, and get close to God. Because he said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Right. When you get so caught up in the world that you're not willing to lay your life down, things just don't work right.
That's right.
God bless you, saints.
Amen.